Dell laptops can be hijacked, right to repair dies due to lobbying, and Google turns on auto-delete. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris and this is ThreatWire for May 7, 2019, your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. It's time for a quick shout out. Andreas, KAC, Benjamin, Carl, and Dan joined the Patreon team this week. I would also like to say thank you to everyone who contributes to my content on alternative platforms over at snubzy.com/support, where you can go to support the show directly. I'll put that link down in the show notes below, and of course, if you are interested in supporting ThreatWire over on Patreon, and getting a whole bunch of perks, hit up patreon.com/threatwire. And now on to the news. If you have a Dell computer, you might want to update it. News surfaced at the beginning of this month about a pretty hefty security flaw in the vendor's support assist utility that comes prepackaged on Dell laptops and computers, otherwise known as bloatware. Support Assist is used for debugging, diagnostic data, and for driver auto updates. It only comes prepackaged on Windows machines, so devices running Linux or no operating system are not vulnerable. The vulnerability would allow an attacker to remotely hijack the machine and execute code with administrator privileges when a user is using an older version of the tool. This could allow an attacker to take over a user's PC without them knowing. A patch was released on April 23rd, but it's likely that many users will not install the new update, leaving them vulnerable to the attack. This is a problem due to a remote code execution vulnerability, which is set up by luring a user to a malicious site where JavaScript code tricks the Support Assist tool into downloading and running files from the attacker's server. It runs in admin mode all the time, so privileges are escalated. Now, on the plus side, the remote code execution attack does require an attacker to be on the user's network, as they would first have to run an ARP spoof attack and a DNS spoof attack. So if you never use public Wi-Fi or you work on a closed network, your chances of being attacked are lowered. But with that said, if a router or another machine on the same network was compromised, then you are at risk. The CVE for this flaw is CVE-2019-3719, with the new update being Support Assist version 3.2.0.90. It was first discovered by Bill Demirkapi, hopefully I said that right, who reported the problem to Dell and also published a proof of concept. So make sure you update your machines. Chosen by our ThreatWire Patreon patrons this week is a story on right to repair legislation, or the lack thereof. Right to repair is advocacy to allow users to fix their own technology with their own tools, software, and/or aftermarket components. A bill was put forward by Canada's Liberal Party MPP, Michael Couture, back in February that would force companies to provide end users with parts, tools, and repair manuals at fair prices so that they have the right to repair their own products. North America currently does not have a law like this, though here in the US, 20 states are actually considering it. Many users have been forced to find aftermarket parts sold illegally or use third-party firmware like we have seen with John Deere farm equipment to make the upgrades or fixes necessary to continue using the product that they paid for. Unfortunately, though, Couture's bill died during its second reading in Ontario's parliament, during which time the majority Progressive Conservative Party voted it down. Arguments were made that the bill would force companies to hand out their code to average consumers, and it would compromise U.S. company intellectual property. Couture was approached by lobbyists who represent Apple and Panasonic and was told that this was a public safety issue, stating that it's dangerous for people to open up electronic devices and fix it themselves. They worry that users don't understand the risk of opening up an electronic device, mainly due to the possibility of puncturing a lithium-ion battery. Meanwhile, people do repair their own iPhones using aftermarket devices and components all the time without incident. And so many well-known problems have already occurred, like airports banning batteries and checked luggage, and Samsung's own battery debacle, that it's widely accepted and known that batteries can be dangerous if not handled correctly. Many independent repair technicians also fix iPhones without being a part of Apple's authorized service provider program by purchasing replacement parts from manufacturers overseas instead of directly through Apple. I recently reported on Apple's new Genuine Parts Repair program, which they also seem to be piloting with some repair companies. In California, a similar bill was lobbied against as well. In this one, an Apple rep and a lobbyist for CompTIA met with legislators to discuss the dangers of disassembling an iPhone. CompTIA, along with 18 other trade organizations, sent letters to the members of the Assembly's Privacy and Consumer Protection Committee to oppose the legislation. This bill, brought forth by Susan Talamantes Eggman, was pulled just before it would be heard on the floor due to a lack of support. Talamantes Eggman hopes to bring it back next year. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my Patreon supporters. If you are interested in getting access to a slew of extras and perks, even if it's just $1 or $2 a month, hit that button to become a Patreon supporter because it all helps and it shows me that you appreciate the work I'm putting in for this show. And also a big thanks to our Hush Puppy perk level patrons for sending in their fur baby photos. I love them. Keep them coming. They are so adorable. I've got a very short privacy update from Google today because the company just came out with a useful way to automatically delete your location, web, and app history. Google has just introduced an easier, faster, and more privacy-focused way to auto-delete your data right from your smartphone. The location history option, if enabled, allows Google to see where you've visited in the past. This is what tells you you last visited here 8 months ago when you go to one of your favorite restaurants or something, for example. Web and app activity track websites or apps that you have visited or used, and manually deleting this data can be a pain if you have left it on, and you may not want to disable the functionality due to convenience. Unfortunately, even with these options disabled, Associated Press found last year that Google still tracks some of this information. They were also found to be collecting and storing data from millions of devices in what the New York Times reported as the sensor vault, which is used to give data to law enforcement. Links are in the description for each of these articles down below. Now, due to US Congress's questioning of these practices, Google has enabled auto-delete, which will allow you to either keep the data until deleted manually, keep it for 18 months and then delete it automatically, or keep that data for 3 months and then delete it automatically. It is opt-in, so you would need to go to your Google account page, choose data and personalization, then web and app activity. Choose delete automatically, then pick a time to auto-delete. Manually, 18 months or 3 months. Click next, then confirm your changes. And of course, you can just always disable these features entirely. That definitely works too. Auto delete is currently rolling out to users, so you may not see this immediately. And with that, I hope you like the new studio setup. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet.
Yeah.